chapter 2, 1, and only true healer. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15, 26 KJV. Imagine that for one day only you have the power to heal any and all types of sickness, disease, and wounds just by laying your hands on the inflicted person for 2 minutes. What would you do? Would you let your power be known and try to profit as much wealth and honor as you possibly could before losing your power? Would you rush off to the wealthiest people and the people of higher places first, then get the others? Would you tell the poor to wait until you have finished healing all of the more important people? I hope that your answer to all three of these questions is no. Now let me ask you these questions. You still have the same power with all of the same stipulations. Would you heal all of your nearby family, friends, and loved ones first? Would you rush to the nearest hospital or medical center and try to heal as many as possible? Would you try to heal the people with cancer, terminal illnesses, and more severe injuries first, before healing the broken bones and easily treatable conditions? Most would probably answer two or all three of these questions yes, and here's the reason why. Love. You may not believe it, but the only reason you would help someone without it benefiting you is because of love. The only reason you would even care if someone stopped hurting or not, or if that person is in good health, is love. With that being said, here's my point. God loves you and me too. He loves all of us, and this is how I know. God heals us in every way that we need healing. We know that God is the creator of all things, whether man-made or not, because he supplies the intelligence to create. All the pain pills, anesthetics for surgery, laxatives, blood pressure meds, psych meds, vitamins, and everything that we use to make our bodies feel better or function better would not exist if it was not for God, our one and only true healer. Nothing that a doctor, nurse, physician, or anyone operates or utilizes would be of any assistance if God had not given someone the brains to create it. Not only does God heal our broken bodies, but he also heals us spiritually and emotionally. When we are discouraged, hope from God heals our broken spirits and lifts us up. When we are brokenhearted, it's not the people who come around that help piece together our hearts, but it's God who sends them with the words and actions necessary for healing. We give credit to lots of things and people for doing so, but God is the only reason that we are healed. Of course, we should thank people when they play a role in our healing, but we must be sure to glorify God. Let them know how much you appreciate them allowing God to work in them and through them. Let God know how much you appreciate him for using them to help you. Short of breath. As a child, I was diagnosed with asthma. For this reason, I was not allowed to play on the school sports teams, even though I really liked football a lot. My asthma did not stop me from playing football in my yard and on the street where I grew up, neither did it prevent me from playing softball behind school, on the public baseball fields. My medical condition was not the worst in the world, but it did, however, give my loved ones enough of a scare to keep a close watch on me during strenuous physical activity. I went through my childhood with very few serious illness-related incidents that could not be tamed with an albuterol inhaler or a breathing treatment. But there were times when my asthma would flare up and cause me to use my medication excessively, far exceeding the recommended dosage. Doctors suggested having my tonsils removed to fix my medical problem, so my mother allowed the surgical procedure. That did not help, though. I remained an asthmatic with limited physical abilities. I did not make my situation any better, since I started smoking before I was a teenager. But I didn't think that I was making it any worse either. After all, I never had an asthma attack while I was smoking or after I had finished smoking. My asthma was worse only when I had a cold. Each time that I cough, I would get short of breath and use my inhaler. This would cause chest pain that sometimes caused my mother to take me to the hospital emergency room. Overall, God's grace did not allow asthma to take my life, as it did to some of my peers as I was growing up as a child. Aside from a designated medication, though it came in various forms, nothing was able to help my medical condition, and the medicine always caused temporary relief only. As I have gotten older, my condition has seemed to get better, though. It hasn't come from anything that I've been doing or not doing either. In fact, I have been smoking all of my life. Next month, February 2017, will make 1 year that I have been smoke-free. It is my belief that God has been healing my lungs more and more, preparing me for the work that he has predestined me to do. I feel that I can reach a lot of people with my music, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I honestly think that I will be able to impact a lot of lives with my ministry. I probably would not be able to sing, rap, and preach as well if I was short-winded because of asthma. That is why I believe that all of this is part of God's great plan. Everything seems to be fitting together perfectly. as I write, sing, and practice songs that require more and more long notes of my voice. Thank God, my healer, for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he is going to do in my life. Hezekiah's prayer, Behold, I will heal thee. 2 Kings 20, 5 KJV. In the Old Testament, in the second book of Kings, chapters 18 through 20 tell about a king named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a faithful servant of God, and he did what was right in the eyes of God. He tore down the high places for worshiping other gods, destroyed the idols, images, and groves, and he trusted in the Lord God and obeyed his commandments. Hezekiah came up against some powerful enemies and challenging situations in his lifetime, but God always helped him because he trusted in God. Hezekiah became very sick and was almost to the point of dying. The Lord God sent a message to Hezekiah by the prophet Isaiah, telling Hezekiah to prepare his family for life after his death, because he was going to die from his sickness. After receiving the message from God through the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah turned to the wall and prayed to God, then cried with deep sorrow. After Isaiah left King Hezekiah, before he was out of the middle courtyard, God gave Isaiah the prophet another message to deliver to Hezekiah. God's message to Hezekiah was, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and I will heal you. In 3 days you will go up to the temple of God. I will add 15 more years to your life. I will protect you in this city from the king of Assyria, and I will do it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. What a great God! To add 15 more years to the life of someone dying on his sick bed is pure love, and God is full of love. In fact, God is love, see 1 John 4:8. That's why he treats all of us with such kindness, compassion, and understanding. I think that this story is a sure example of how much God loves his people. Along came a spider. Jesus said, Go, you are healed because you believe. Mark 10:52. During my stay here at the LaFleur County Jail, I have become very intolerant with insects and critters that choose to dwell in this small 8x cell with me. It is something that I cannot seem to compromise with because these little guys always manage to find their way to my mat and linger around my head. The mosquitoes and flies bite and buzz so that I cannot sleep at night. The ants will make a trail on my bed and crawl all over me. The spiders crawl over me, make webs everywhere, and drop their dried-up victims right on my custom-made pillow. So I decided to kill any and all of them that I see in my cell. I have a 2-bunk cell that I don't share with anyone. I was sleeping on the top bunk at the time when this incident took place. I was moseying around in my cell when I noticed this spider web in the corner above the head of my bunk with a huge spider on the web. I grabbed one of my flip-flops off of the floor quickly and strategized how to kill the spider. I could not reach it standing up, so I had to get up on top of the bunk to get to it. I usually get in bed by using both hands to hold on to the bunk and pull myself up as I jump and turn slightly about 180°. It's all pretty smooth and easy, especially being as tall as I am. There was just one small issue preventing the normal operation of getting into bed at the time. I had a dirty flip-flop in my hand. So without thinking, I jumped into the air, turned my nearly 300 lb body in mid-air, and landed, sitting on the top bunk. As I did the acrobatic stunt to get up on the bed, I heard about 15 different pops and cracks in my body. Once sitting up there, I could not move without excruciating pain. Nevertheless, I still managed to reach up into the corner of the room and gently smash the spider. But something terrible had happened, though. For the next 2 or 3 months, I could not sit down without my thigh feeling as though someone was trying to fold my upper right leg in half in a way that legs don't bend. Besides that, as soon as I would place my bottom on a seat, my lower spine would feel like it was breaking into pieces if I relaxed my muscles for 1 second. When I lied down in my bed, my leg would throb in pain. X-rays showed no broken bones, so the nurse's practitioner prescribed pain pills and muscle relaxers which did not eliminate the pain for the 2 or 3 months that I suffered, but they did help me sleep at night. I was told that it was probably a muscle spasm. My back stopped hurting about 2 months after the injury. Finally, after realizing that my leg pain was not going away, I stopped taking the pills. I prayed to God that he would heal my leg. Less than 1 week of not taking pain meds, while praying, as I mentioned my leg in prayer, I suddenly realized that it was no longer hurting. I thought that it was temporary, or in my head, as I was told, but it wasn't. My leg was completely healed, along with my back. When I look back at those few months, I remember how I would be in pain during faith-based Bible study class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and how I would take a bunch of pain pills before going to class. I don't recall ever saying or thinking to myself, I'm not going to class because I'm hurting. I think my injury was a test of endurance, and I think my healing was a product of faith, but it was all thanks to God. His Holy Spirit empowered me to keep moving forward and not give up because of the physical pain I was experiencing. God's love caused him to relieve the pain after his purpose had been served. Broken spirit, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 30, 2 KJV. Today, before writing the broken spirit part of this book, I was feeling down. I tried to blame it on the fact that I had very few notes for this section. Then I thought that I may have felt that way because of a combination of other reasons, such as the air conditioning unit freezing me in the middle of the winter, the little soreness developing in my throat, my book progress being behind schedule, not being able to focus enough, the housing unit television being tuned into reality series TV all day, and other worldly things. I paced the floor a couple times before coming into my cell, locking the door, and getting down on my knees to pray. I just recently, within the past few months, began talking to God about every single thing that I'm concerned with. I used to think that praying would not bring the immediate and instant results that I so desire. But since I have learned that just going to God in prayer gives me peace, I do not hesitate to do so. Sometimes I get a little caught up in the moment and slack on seeking counsel from the true counselor, but when I'm thinking clearly, God is my first choice for solutions. Once I closed myself off from the rest of the busy world earlier today, I still kept losing focus in prayer and sighing in disappointment as I had been doing before I started prayer. I asked God repeatedly to give me peace, comfort, and joy as I thanked him for what he has done and given me. I asked God to lift my spirit several times in a loud voice, disregarding the people outside of my cell. I kept thanking him and pleading with him for a while before I ended my prayer. But after I got up off my knees, I did not feel any differently. I still felt sort of down. 1 or 2 minutes later, while still in my cell fumbling through some papers, I heard the words to a song that I recognized. I don't want to lose your love tonight. Immediately, I started singing the song, just the chorus, because that's the only part that I know, and went to see what was on the television. To my surprise, the channel had been changed, and Tammy was just coming on. I had never seen the movie before, but I knew that it was a comedy. I thanked God and decided that I would take some time away from writing so that I could enjoy a good laugh. It is my belief that this was God's way of lifting my spirit. It may be a coincidence in a world where God is not in control of all things, all the time, but in the life of a true believer, nothing is exempt of God's control. The leisure time that I enjoyed today put me in a different mood and gave me this testimony that you are reading at this very moment. I was allowing the devil to bring me down earlier, and he caused my spirit to be discouraged. But because God so dearly loves me, he made a way to build me up, and he healed my broken spirit with his significant technique. God works in mysterious ways. In the Old Testament of the Holy Bible, the book of Job tells of Job, a faithful servant of the Lord God Almighty. Job was honest and respectful of God, and he refused to do evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, and so many belongings and cattle that he was the richest man in the East. One day, that deceitful and evil one known as Satan was allowed by God to cause trouble in Job's life to all that Satan wanted to, but he was not allowed to hurt Job himself. Satan used the Sabaeans to attack and kill Job's servants and animals. Satan used God's fire from heaven to burn Job's sheep and his other servants. He also used the Chaldeans to attack and kill more of Job's servants and to steal away all of his camels. If that was not enough, Satan used a strong wind to blow down the house of Job's oldest son and kill all of Job's sons and daughters while they were in the house eating and drinking. Even after all of this, Job did not say that God was wrong. He tore his clothes, shaved his head, and fell down before the Lord God in sadness, praising and worshiping God and acknowledging that God gives and takes, and that Job himself could not take anything with him when he died. Job chapter 1. Sometime later, the deceitful and evil Satan was in the presence of God again. God bragged about Job's faithfulness even after Satan destroyed all that Job had for no reason at all. Satan told God that Job would curse God to his face if only Satan was allowed to inflict physical harm upon Job. So God allowed Satan to put harmful sores all over Job's body, but he was not allowed to kill Job. Job sat in a pile of ashes mourning instead of sinning against God. His wife insisted that he curse God and die Job 2:9. But Job did nothing of the sort. His friends came and tried to comfort him, but Job regretted the day that he was born and wished to die. All in all, Job did not speak against God, but he did question him. Job wanted to know what he had done to deserve such misfortune. After a firm talking to by God, Job repented of the words he had spoken, though none in blasphemy, and he humbled himself even more before God. In the end, God healed Job's broken spirit and blessed him with twice as much cattle and belongings as he had before. God also blessed Job with 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. Job's life was better in the latter part than it was before the trouble that Satan had caused. You see, God loved Job, but he allowed the devil in Job's life to test him and see if he would remain faithful and respectful to God under the worst circumstances. Job passed the test, and God healed him, blessed him, and allowed him to live long enough to see his great-great-grandchildren. What an awesome God we serve. For the record, on yesterday, I wrote the prior part of this chapter, Broken Spirit, and talked about a few things that I thought had contributed to me feeling down and discouraged. Among those were the facts that the air conditioning unit is being used in the middle of the winter, and I was developing a sore throat. Well, last night, my throat seemed to get worse as phlegm began emerging. After waking this morning, to my surprise, the air conditioner was off and there was a steady stream of room temperature, slightly warm air coming from the vent. In addition to that, my throat feels better and all that thick, light brownish phlegm is gone. I had taken nothing from my throat issue but a little prayer to my God in heaven, my Father, my healer. Dirty eyes. I wear prescription contact lenses because without them or eyeglasses, I cannot read a stop sign from 30 or 40 feet away. Since I started wearing contact lenses, I have always relied on someone to put them in for me. Don't ask. It just seemed difficult, and I could rely on the women at the Walmart Eye Care Center, my wife, my sister, or a girlfriend to do it for me. So that's what I did. Just recently, here in jail and out of options, I have trusted in God to teach me how to do it and to assist me in the process, and He has not let me down yet. For a few days, my left eye was irritated to the point that it was red, sore and unable to be cleansed with a cleaning solution. I checked my lens stash. With 3 left contact lenses remaining, I replaced the old one in my eye. I only did this every few months, maybe 2 or 3 times per year. The irritation went away immediately, so I figured that it was just time to change the lens. 2 or 3 days later, the same problem recurred, an irritated, leaking, sore left eye that could not be healed with eye drops. I started to panic a little, because I'm not able to get another prescription filled from here, and I don't have a pair of eyeglasses. Instead of replacing the contact lens in faith that God will make a way for me to see or release me from jail before I run out of lenses, I tried a different approach. I left the lens in my eye and prayed about it. The very next day, the problem was all cleared up. God loves you and me too, and this is just more testimony of the love that my healer has shown me.